Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So before we start, there's some concrete being poured outside. It may be a little noisy. Can you just make sure that all the windows are closed upstairs? Thank you. So, today we're going to conclude this 23rd chapter. There are two very small purports that occur a little later on. So I'm just going to read through the rest of the chapter. The verse on the board has no purport, but we'll recite this one. And then I'll just continue reading to the end of the chapter. Dharmas tu haihaya suto netraha kunte pita tataha sohanjir abhavat kunter mahishman padrasenakaha. Dharmas tu haihaya suto netra kunte pita tataha sohanjir abhavat kunter mahishman parasena kaha. Dharmas tu hai haya suto netra kunte pita patataha sohanjir abhavat kunter mahishman padrasena kaha. Dharmas tu hai haya suto netra kunte pita tataha sohanjir abhavat kunter mahishman padrasena kaha. Please chant. Dharmas tu hai haya suto netra kunte pita tataha sohamanjir abhavat kunter mahishman padrasena kaha. Sohanjir abhavat kunter mahishman badrasena kaha. Dharmas tu hai haya suto netra kunte pita tataha sohanjir abhavat kunter mahishman padrasena kaha. Vaishnavins. Dharmas tu hai haya suto netra kunte pita tataha sohanjir abhavat kunter mahishman padrasena kaha. Dharmas tu hai haya suto netra kunte pita tataha. Mahishman padrasena kaha. All right, synonyms. Dharmaha tu. Dharma, however. Haihaya sutaha became the son of Haihaya. Netraha, netra, kuntehe, of Kunti, pita, the Father. Tataha, from Him, Dharma. Sohanjihi, Sohanji. Abhavat, became. Kuntehe, the son of Kunti. Mahishman, Mahishman. Padrasenakaha, Padrasenaka. So Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. The son of Haihaya was Dharma, and the son of Dharma was Netra, the father of Kunti. From Kunti came a son named Sohanji. From Sohanji came Mahishman, and from Mahishman, Padrasenaka. So as I said, I'm just going to continue reading. There are two small purports, and then we'll finish the chapter. And since there's so many verses, we'll just do the English translations. The sons of Bhadrasena were known as Durmada and, oops, went too fast there, Danaka. Danaka was the father of Kritavirya and also of Kritagni, Kritavarma, and Kritauja. Text 24. The son of Kritavirya was Arjuna. He, Kartavirya Arjuna, became the emperor of the entire world, consisting of seven islands, and received mystic power from Dattatreya, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, he obtained the mystic perfections known as Ashta Siddhi. We all know what those are, right? So, translation for 25. Let's go up a bit. No other king in this world could equal Kartavirya Arjuna in sacrifices, charity, austerity, mystic power, education, strength, or mercy. 26. For 85,000 years, Kartavirya Arjuna continuously enjoyed material opulences with full bodily strength and unimpaired memory. In other words, he enjoyed inexhaustible material opulences with his six senses. 27. Of the 1,000 sons of Kartavirya Arjuna, only five remain alive after the fight with Parashurama. Their names were Jayadwaja, Shurasena, Vrishabha, Madhu, and Urjita. So we already went through this story earlier in the canto. Jayadwaja had a son named Talajanga, who had 100 sons. All the Kshatriyas in that dynasty known as Talajanga were annihilated by the great power received by Maharaj Sagara from Orva Rishi. Text 29. Of the sons of Talajanga, Vitihotra was the eldest. The son of Vitihotra named Madhu had a celebrated son named Vrishni. Madhu had 100 sons, of whom Vrishni was the eldest. The dynasties known as Yadava, Madhava, and Vrishni had their origin from Yadu, Madhu, and Vrishni. Text 30 and 31. O Maharaj Parikshit, because Yadu, Madhu, and Vrishni each inaugurated a dynasty, their dynasties are known as Yadava, Madhava, and Vrishni. The son of Yadu, named Kroshta, had a son named Vrijinavan. The son of Vrijinavan was Swahita, the son of Swahita, Vishadgu. The son of Vishadgu, Tritarata, and the son of Chitsarata, Shashabindu. The greatly fortunate Shashabindu, who was a great mystic, possessed 14 opulences and was the owner of 14 great jewels. Thus he became the emperor of the world. Purport. In the Markandeya Purana, the 14 kinds of great jewels are described as follows. 1. An elephant. 2. A horse. 3. A chariot. 4. A wife. 5. Arrows. 6. A reservoir of wealth. 7. A garland. 8. Valuable costumes. 9. Trees. 10. A spear. 11. A noose. 12. Jewels. 13. An umbrella. And 14. Regulative principles. To be the emperor, one must possess all 14 of these opulences. Shashabindu possessed them all. Text 32. The famous Shashabindu had 10,000 wives. That's not a typo. 10,000 wives, and by each he begot a lakh of sons. Everybody know how much is a lakh? Huh? 100,000, right. So 10,000 wives, and in each of them he begot 100,000 sons. Therefore, the number of his sons was 10,000 lakhs, or 10,000 times 100,000. 33. Among these many sons, six were the foremost, such as Prithushava and Prithukirti. The son of Prithushava was known as Dharma, and his son was known as Ushana. Ushana was the performer of 100 horse sacrifices. Text 34. The son of Ushana was Ruchaka, who had five sons, Purujit, Rukma, Rukmeshu, Prithu, and Jayamagha. Please hear of these sons for me. Text 35 and 36. Jayamagha had no sons, but because he was fearful of his wife, Shaibhya, he could not accept another wife. Jayamagha once took from the house of some royal enemy a girl who was a prostitute, but upon seeing her, Shaibhya was very angry and said to her husband, quote, "My husband, you cheater, who is this girl sitting upon my seat on the chariot?" Jayamagha then replied, quote, "This girl will be your daughter-in-law." Upon hearing these joking words, Shaibhya smilingly replied. Text 37. Shaibhya said, quote, "I am sterile and have no co-wife. How can this girl be my daughter-in-law? Please tell me." Jayamagha replied, quote, "My dear queen, I shall see that you indeed have a son and that this girl will be your daughter-in-law." 38. Long, long ago, Jayamagha had satisfied the demigods and pitas, means the forefathers, by worshipping them. Now, by their mercy, Jayamagha's words came true. Although Shaibhya was barren, by the grace of the demigods, she became pregnant and in due course of time gave birth to a child named Vidarbha. Before the child's birth, the girl had been accepted as a daughter-in-law, and therefore Vidarbha actually married her when he grew up. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 23rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Dynasties of the Sons of Jayati. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschatadeshtarane Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishnang Shapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Tapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tangsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripre Vancha Kopaturivyasha Kripa Sindhuve Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gorvaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So sometimes this world is referred to as the world of names. Everything has a name. And here we've gone through a long list of names. Bhagavatam is full of so many names. And actually in the last canto of the Bhagavatam, the 12th canto, there's a section known as the Bhumi Gita, where Mother Bhumi, Mother Earth, is speaking. And she mentions this, that so many kings have tried to conquer me. Now they've been reduced to just a list of names, which nobody even remembers. Nobody even remembers. So we have heard all these names, and predictably, many of us, if not all of us, will not remember these names, the majority of these names, if not all of them. But the underlying lesson that is to be learned from all this, that we cannot escape. Because every single one of these persons have appeared on this planet, and in due course of time, as Mother Earth herself said in the 12th canto, they disappear. And we're on that same course. We've taken birth, and at some point in the not-too-distant future, we will disappear. At least the body will disappear. We know that. That much we've been convinced of. That's why we're here. That we're not this body. We're spiritual beings, and we live eternally. But the change of body we cannot avoid and cannot overlook. In other words, we have to be prepared for it. I was watching the other night, a couple nights back while I was ironing my cloth, there was on YouTube a video of an evening that was dedicated to Radhanath Swami's book, The Journey Home, in Dallas. So a lot of devotees and guests, they spoke, and Maharaj spoke for a long time about the back story behind his book. So one devotee, I didn't catch his name, but Indian body, he got up and he said that, you know, although he was born in India, he had no idea about spiritual life or spirituality, anything like that. Totally oblivious to it. He was just involved in, you know, business and stuff. So he came to America and he was doing well. And one day his wife handed him that book, The Journey Home, and convinced him to read it. So he said he picked it up and literally didn't put it down, read it cover to cover, and that convinced him to start seeking his spiritual life. So he mentioned something interesting there. He said that some wise person he had heard said there are two important dates in your life. The day you're born and the day you understand why you were born. So this is the journey that we're on. Every one of us has taken birth, but the real birth is when you understand why you were born. In other words, what is the purpose of your life? And that we learn from coming in contact with the Srimad Bhagavatam and the person Bhagavan. This is what they convince us of. Why, what should you do with your life? Prabhupada once said, committed life, meaning life committed to Krishna consciousness, is noble life. So who doesn't want to be noble? Everybody wants to be a noble person, or at least know that in their past they were connected to nobility. Quite often it's a joke in England that a lot of Americans with money, they come there and they buy some title. They have money, but they don't have the nobility. So they go to England and they buy some title to say that they were the, you know, fourth heir to the, you know, kingdom of whatever, just to have some title. So everybody likes to be noble. They want to be connected to nobility. So if you want to be noble, commit your life to Krishna consciousness. Even though we know death is there, for sure. This whole background story of Maharaj Parikshit, he's hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, all this list of names, but he himself, as we know, is waiting to die. We're now coming towards the end of the ninth canto. Only the tenth canto pretty much is left for him to hear. So it's running out. Time is running out for him. But at least he knew he had 7 days. We don't know how long we have. Yesterday I got a text from my younger sister. I have a younger sister, a year and 2 months younger. She's a college professor. She has a PhD in education, so she teaches teachers how to teach. And her husband also has a PhD. He has a PhD in business, so he teaches business in university level. Anyway, she texted me to say that her husband's mother had passed away at 93. So whether you pass away at 93 or 63, recently we've had a rash of rock icons like David Bowie and others passing away, and they were in their 60s, most of them. So whether you pass away at 93 or 63 or you don't even make it to 63, we know that death is going to be there. And we have to be ready because we don't always have pre-announcement. Even if we could get pre-announcement, well, we want it. We all come before Dwarkadish every day. Let's say Dwarkadish spoke to you one morning, you come for greeting, and he said, you know, my dear Krishnadas or Radhadasi, you're such a nice devotee, I want to bring you back to Godhead, but I want you to decide how you leave this world. Do you want to have a long illness, slowly degenerating, so you know that within a year or two you're going to die? Or would you rather have instant death? You step off the curb absentmindedly and a garbage truck hits you and you die immediately. Or something in between. And they discover that you have some rare disease and 2 months you're going to die. What would you choose? Seriously, what would you choose? If you came in front of Dwarkadish and he told you that, what would you choose? Let's start from the top. Suvas, what would you say? If Dwarkadish spoke to you and said, long term, midterm, or instant, which way do you want to go? See? The point is, none of us really want to go. We've been through the death experience so many times, but we don't want to experience it again, even though we know we have to experience it. So, the real thing to do is to be prepared. Be prepared. Maharaj Parikshit set the example of how to prepare. He sat down and heard the Bhagavatam. So even though we don't know exactly when we're going to go, we can follow that example and every day seriously hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because it can come, like I said, at any moment. Last Saturday, I went on a bike trip with Jagannivas, Bhagavad Kripa, and Jagannath Puri. We rode from here following the new expo line, a new train line that goes down to Santa Monica. So there's a bike path along most of it. So we rode down, no incident. Coming back, we're passing an intersection between on Pico near to Sawtelle. I think it's called Corinth is the name of the street. Anyway, so Jagani Vasu was the first person. He went in. And at that point, we're riding on the sidewalk because we're actually going opposite traffic. So he went into the intersection. He saw this guy coming, pretty good speed. So he stuck his hand out, and the guy saw him, and he slowed down. Unfortunately, the guy kept looking at Jagani Vasu. He never really stopped. He was slowing down, slowing down. I was the second one, and I was keeping my eye on him because I learned to ride bicycles in New York traffic, and you don't take your eye off the drivers for a second because they can do anything crazy. So I'm watching him, and the guy is slowing down, but he's not stopping. And finally, he's coming close. I said, "Hey!" But by the time he saw me, he clipped me and knocked me. Fell and hit very hard right here. But now the reason why I brought this, because I want to convince you, if you ride regularly, wear a helmet. For many, many years, I was riding a bicycle without a helmet. But one day, a couple years ago, Christian just convinced me, you know, maybe you should get a helmet. So I went to Cycle World, which is here on Sepulveda and Washington. And I went in, I'm looking at the helmets, and they're all very expensive, $100, $80, $70. So I'm thinking, I can't spend that kind of money for a helmet. And then I saw a helmet for $15. It was this helmet, but it had a hideous graphic on it, mostly purple and black, some kind of dragon. And it was originally $49.99, on sale for $15. So I said, that's my speed. So I bought it, and I spray-painted it, safety orange. And I got a Bottle Rob sticker from Ratna. And then I went to Govindas and I bought two Nrsingadev stickers. So, this helmet is actually meant for skateboarding. It's not really a bike helmet, bicycle helmet. It's a skateboarder. But Christian knew what was going to happen. So he convinced me to buy this skateboarder helmet. Because it can withstand more impact than the average bike helmet out there. So when I fell, I came right down on Lord Nrsingadev. Boom. And I felt my brain rattling around inside the skull, literally. And the rest of the impact was on the side of the face here. So the one lesson this morning is if you ride a bicycle, Krishna Pad, are you here? Are you listening? Jagani Vasu, are you listening? They ride regularly without helmets. I see them all the time whizzing by. Put a helmet on your head. Because for me, worse than death would have been to be a vegetable for the rest of life. Seriously, you survive the impact, but your brain is so messed up you can't do anything for the rest of your life. So to me, that's worse than death. Better to die and take birth again in a body where you can do some devotional service than to be a vegetable for the rest of your life. So if you ride, wear a helmet, please. But the other lesson is that we can go at any moment. We don't know when, how, where. So if Dwarkadish were to ask me, how would you like to go? I would say, my dear Lord, you are the all-knowing, all-seeing, Supreme Personality of Godhead. I leave it up to you. Whatever you decide is okay with me. I don't want to choose. Because inevitably we always think that we're choosing the best for ourselves, the best situation to be in, the best person to be with, the best job, the best. But ultimately, time proves us generally to be wrong. And the very thing that we thought was the best, we can't wait to get out of it or get rid of it or get away from it. So we have to admit, we don't know what's best for us. And that's why we need guru. That's why we need sadhu association. That's why we need shastra. The guru, sadhu, shastra is to convince us at every moment what is the best thing to do, which is Krishna consciousness activities, generally speaking, chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Now, we also have to admit that we don't know what we're going to think of at the time of death. Even though we're being trained here, when this accident happened, my first thought was, what the hell is this guy doing? Why isn't he stopping? So if I had died at that moment, I would have taken birth as that guy. Because he was the last thing on my mind before the impact happened. I was thinking of the driver of the car. Not Krishna, not Prabhupada, like that. So we don't know. We can't control it. We're practicing every day. We're chanting Hare Krishna. We're hearing the shastra, associating with devotees. But That last thought at the last moment is not really in your control. I've told this story several times, but it stuck with me. Once I was in Zurich, it was maybe 2008, I think it was. Yeah. So I gave class there, and I was mentioning something similar to this about being prepared for the time of death. And one devotee, even though he was Zurich, Switzerland, he was Indian body, Brahmachari, came to me and said, "You know, Prabhu, I have to admit that I had a near-death experience, a car accident, and just when the impact happened, and I thought I was going to die, I did not say Hare Krishna, I did not call my guru's name, I said, oh, something that I can't repeat." So we don't know. We don't know. We have to practice remembering Krishna at every moment. When the good times come, when the bad times come. And quite often it's easier to remember Krishna when the bad times are there. Something bad happens and generally speaking we'll say, oh Krishna, please help me. But when the good times come, that's when it's not so easy. It's actually more difficult to remember Krishna when the good times come. You get a call from a friend who said, "I won the Powerball lottery. I have $500 million, and because I like you so much, I'm going to give you $100 million. Whoa, would you stay in Krishna consciousness? Or would you do like some devotees have seen? And this story I've also told, but it's a true story. One devotee, when I was in Henry Street, 73, 74, I think it was, this happened. His parents died and left him a pretty good chunk of money. In those days, $600,000, which was a lot of money. It's equivalent to about $6 million today. So he got $600,000 inheritance and took off the neck beads, threw away the bead bag, and went out the door. 10 years later, I saw him at a festival. And he came to me and said, "Remember me?" "Yeah, yeah." Vaguely at first, but then it came back. "Yeah, I remember you." He said, "That money was the worst thing that happened to me in my life. Inheriting $600,000 was the worst thing that happened to me in my life because he just went wild. He went wild. Completely gave up everything and went wild. So sometimes what's apparently good is the worst thing that can happen to us. Inheriting a lot of money, getting a lot of fame. These things can really derail our Krishna consciousness. Generally speaking, when bad things happen, we take shelter of Krishna, Lord and Sringadev. But we have to be prepared in all circumstances. So this story that we're hearing of Parikshit preparing for death, we should take to heart. We should take to heart and be prepared for our own final breath, final moment, which may not come announced. Can come in any way, shape, or form, any place, time, circumstances, we don't know. So we have to be totally prepared. And that means sincerely understanding our situation, that we're totally dependent. We're totally dependent on Krishna. We foolishly like to declare our independence of Krishna, but as jivas, tathastha shakti, marginal energy, we're always dependent on Krishna in every circumstance. So we should acknowledge that totally, consciously, and therefore take shelter of Krishna. We see, just like children, those children who are consciously aware of the fact that they're dependent on their parents, they take shelter as soon as something goes, "Mommy, Danny," and they want shelter. But those who are, and some of them start from very early age, they don't want to have anything to do with Mommy and Daddy, and every time moment they're trying to run away and leave me alone, and they fight the parents, and they just have a rough life. Those who surrender, the parents take care of. If you want to be too independent, Prabhupada said, like, he had this independent streak. He wanted to touch the fan. And his father kept telling him, "No, don't touch the fan. You know, fan spinning." But he insisted. So the father said, "Okay." And he unplugged the fan, first of all. And then when it had slowed down sufficiently, he allowed him to put his finger in. And it hit the finger. Ah! Then he realized that his father was right all along. So our material life is like that. We are attracted to the spinning fan that is dangerous for us. Chop your fingers off, chop your head off. But we are attracted anyway. No, I want. So Krishna says, "Okay, go ahead." And again, we're disappointed, we die, and we take birth again. And again, the material world convinces us, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when I was in the womb, I was praying, "My Lord, please don't let me forget you. I will always remember you in this life. I just want to worship you." He said, but then I took birth, and the relatives came, and they were saying, "Oh, beautiful baby, wonderful boy," and this and that. You're so beautiful. And then I forgot you. Of course, he's Nityasiddha. He didn't forget Krishna. But this is our circumstance. Even if some or other, because of the difficulty of being in the womb and of taking birth, if some or other we remember Krishna, by the time we take birth, all forgotten. So we should be like Parikshit. The very name Parikshit means the examiner. Because he saw Krishna in the womb. We know the story. Ashwatthama sent the Brahmastra to kill him. Krishna protected him. So even though his body of the embryo was burned, so Krishna protected him and he took birth. And so, from the moment he was born, he was always looking to see that personality that he saw in the womb. He was examining everyone. Is this the person that I saw in the womb? Is this the person that I saw in the womb? So always looking for Krishna. So we can learn again from Parikshit. Always look for Krishna in every circumstance and at every moment. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Prabhupada would remind us that those people who claim that they've seen Krishna and Radha in the bushes of Vrindavan, they're not devotees. He said the real devotees are like the Goswamis. Hey Radhe, Brajadevike, Chalalite. Hey Nanda Shunakato. They're always looking. Where is Radha? Where is Krishna? They don't never claim that they met them in some bush in Vrindavan and they were... No. The Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, they're always looking. Hey Radhe, where are you? Never claim to have found them. So this is our position also. We should always be searching for Krishna. Where is Krishna? Krishna, please give me protection. Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhava matak sarvam pravartate itimato abhajante mam buddhabhada samavita. That I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So we need to be convinced of this. That Krishna is the source of everything. Whatever I'm chasing after in this world, Krishna is the source of it. So at the very least, let me ask Krishna to give it to me. Not that I can achieve it on my own. Even if I'm still so contaminated that I want something that's not good for me, at least go to Krishna and ask. That's pious. That's pious life. To come before the deity and ask. But even better than pious life is devotee life, devotional life. Where the devotee doesn't ask Krishna for anything. Knowing Krishna knows my circumstance. He knows everything that I need, everything that I want. I don't have to pester Krishna, ask Krishna for anything. Let me just engage in some service that is dedicated for Krishna's pleasure. And we don't even have to wonder what that is. We just have to plug in to the service structure that Srila Prabhupada has created. In other words, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's dedicated to spreading the glories of the Lord and giving people an opportunity to hear about the Lord. So we just have to plug into that. Book distribution, prasadam distribution, harinam, deity worship, everything that Prabhupada has given. If we plug in anywhere, then we get credit. We don't have to scratch our brains about what to do. Just find some service authorized and plug into it. Krishna will be satisfied because Prabhupada is satisfied. So we'll stop here. Any questions, comments? Yes, Prem Sankirtan Prabhu.
Is it is explained actually then? If you remember Krishna, in moment of death, Krishna said, then you will go home back to Godhead. But I hear some statement then, if you remember him with love and devotion, you will go home back to Godhead. But if you, you know, like in a chanting, if you chant Hare Krishna, but your mind is all over the place, there's no pure chanting. So in moment of death, if you remember on that way, holy name, is it not necessary that you go home back to Godhead?
Well, we went through the sixth canto already with the story of Ajamil. We know that even if the chanting is not pure, he wasn't even chanting for Krishna, he was chanting for his son. Still, Krishna will give credit. Krishna will give credit. Just like Prabhupada compares it there in that story to the police. He said the police are always going around the city, and when the call comes in, they come to the scene. So he said the Vishnu Dutas are always out there circling. And when they hear their master's name, Narayan, Vishnu, Krishna, they will come. They don't stop to consider, well, you know, Prem Sankirtan is not really, so, you know, he's not chanting purely, and he's probably thinking of the beach in Croatia, and this and no. No, they don't consider that. As soon as they hear their master's name, they come. Doesn't matter whether you're chanting jokingly, or even if you're opposed to Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada, we heard recently that Prabhupada was saying that. He said in Germany, he gave that example, that in Germany, they were opposed to us. They said, these Hare Krishna people are bad. Hare Krishna people are bad. But they kept saying Hare Krishna. So that's good. So anyway, you chant the holy name, whether in jest or even opposed, what to speak of if you're just being a little inattentive, but you're actually a devotee. Any way you chant the holy name at the time of death, you're going to get credit. Now, that was the whole point of the Ajamil Leela.
What does it mean, credits? Did you go home back to Godhead?
You may not go instantly, like Ajamil didn't leave instantly. He was allowed to rectify himself before he had to leave the planet, but ultimately went back to Godhead. So that we leave up to Krishna. But yes, try your best to chant as pure as possible. Obviously, we want Shuddhanam. We don't want to be satisfied with just Namabhas. We can say that most, if not all of us, are in the clearing stage, where we're chanting Hare Krishna, trying to avoid the 10 offenses. But we should not be satisfied just to be Namabhas. Even though we know that Haridas Thakur says Namabhas can give you liberation. But the devotees are not satisfied just by being liberated. Devotees don't want to bother Krishna for liberation. They don't mind. The real devotees, pure devotees, they don't mind anywhere they are. They'll engage in devotional service anyway. So it doesn't matter whether it's hell, heaven, earth, anywhere. So they don't bother Krishna for liberation. But we can't artificially imitate that. We have to see that this material world is a horrible place. It's a horrible place. Not only at any moment can you get knocked down off your bicycle, but around the world, right here in LA, everywhere, there's so many horrible things going on. We don't even want to speak about them. It's not a nice place. So we should have impetus to get out of here. Not to stick around and, well, you know, the weather is still nice and, you know, I can still go for a nice walk. And no, it's a horrible place. Make plans to get out and take as many people with you as you can. That's the whole agenda that Prabhupada gave us. He didn't want us to have this mood of, well, you know, the next life. No. Now, he said, this life, sacrifice this life, go back to God at the end of this life. Because he could see that Kali Yuga means we're lazy. And if we, even as devotees, if we settle into this mood of, well, you know, another life. No, this life. Get serious in this life. Try to go back to Godhead in this life and take as many people with you as possible. Jai. Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.